Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. How are you? You know, I've been a traveling fool this past week, family stuff, etc. In fact, been out of the country for part of the time. But that's fine. It's great to be back at the ranch, let me tell you. And loads of work writing, books, etc. Loads of work ranching, irrigating, and etc. Well, this has been kind of a tumultuous week, has it not? Mr. Trump is the man. And I think I told you long ago, when folks were saying he couldn't win and this and that, that he would be the Republican nominee. And you know, I have a bunch of stuff to cover with you this show, but one of the things I'm going to do is give you my forecast for the November elections. I'm going to give you some backup for it, too. The other things we're going to be covering today... Oh, yes. Obamacare. You know, the news gets worse and worse and worse. I'll fill you in some more after the great news I gave you last year, you know, last week. Your 50% premium increase is coming at you. No doctor, take your Obamacare card. It's just good stuff. Barry is doing such a good job for us. And Hillary wants to expand it even further. Isn't that great? And then, of course, we have Obama and Hillary. Criminal fraud, you know, Lois Lerner, Fast and Furious. I can go on and on. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Muslim terrorist. We're going to talk about refugees. We're going to talk about immigration. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we're going to talk about, you know, I got some emails. I got some emails from folks kind of saying, oh, you haven't, when I was talking about the price rise in oil that's coming, well, it's already here, folks, going from 26 to 45. But the price rise of oil, there's actually some articles posted below. You'll see that all of a sudden, the very same outfits, when I was telling you that oil was going to go up, they were saying it was going to go to $10 a barrel. Now, amazingly, they're forecasting $85 a barrel. Make sure you read those articles. Make sure you read the articles below, by the way, on family safety, terror, and immigration. They will totally piss you off, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about them also in this show. And then we're going to talk about my prognostications for Mr. Trump. I'm going to give you some, those of you who wrote emails arguing with me about the price of oil going up, I'm going to give you some more stats in addition to what I gave you last week and the week before. And I am actually going to be able to give you some background that other people have not given you, that the pundits are forgetting when it comes to how this November election is likely to turn out. Because for the last 3 or 4 days, ever since Kasich bowed out and Cruz bowed out, I've been listening to all these talking heads on about 6 different channels and different radio stations. Trump can't win, and Hillary is double digits ahead, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. BS, folks. BS. One of the things that folks have forgotten, all these talking heads, all these pundits, they can't get it right because they're watching the candidates and they're not watching the American people. And in the end, the American people are going to decide who wins, not the pundits, and not even so much the candidates. That's correct. And we're going to talk about gun control. Because gun control is coming at you. I warned you about this. It's part of my year-end 2016 projections. Barry is on a rampage. This is his last year to try and affect the changes he wants to affect. He knows that they're not permanent yet. They've injected the poison pill, but they need more time for it to work on the body corpus of America. And that's why he's so desperate to have Hillary or somebody who's going to carry on his crap in the White House. Because somebody who is not going to carry on his crap is going to pretty much dismantle just about everything he's done. He is fully aware of this. But the gun control thing, particularly with the Supreme Court in a, shall we say, a 4-4 hiatus right now, he's going to be pushing that. And they're going to do it through all sorts of different ways. We're going to talk about that because you haven't heard about some of these nasty things they got planned. And that's going to be the show. So let's get started, shall we? Let's start with the oil first. So in oil, you folks who wrote me and said, gee, oil, we don't think oil is going to go up, and we think you're wrong, and we think it's going to go down, and blah, 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 blah. Look, that, folks, is not going to happen. Oh, it may dip a few dollars here and there. It may go up or down 5 or 6 or 7% from day to day or week to week. But its trend line is up and up and up, up, up and away. You don't want me to sing because you'll turn off the radio. So one of the things that I didn't get into you with, there's going to be production declines. If you go back and listen to my show on why oil is going up and to prepare yourself, because you have this double whammy coming at you in an economy that's sliding into recession, that's never really come out of recession, I think, purposely and intentionally on Barry and the Democrats' part, you have a double whammy of higher health costs and health care premiums, and greatly increased oil costs over what you've been used to over the last year. And it is significant. And by the way, you have increasing regulations. You know, there was just a study done. How's this? $1.8 trillion is now consumed, digested, and wasted within this economy on regulations, on the EPA and other agencies like it run amok. And do you know what that's costing your family? $15,000 a year, folks. $15,000 per American family to live with their BS regulations. The EPA trying to regulate the puddles in front of your house, and I'm not making that up. I mean, that's really what they're trying to do. That is not an exaggeration. The rainfall off your roof while they spill 3 million gallons of toxic waste in the Los Animas River in Colorado, while they lie, cheat, and steal their way through lead in the water in Flint, Michigan that they knew about and never brought to the attention. And I can go on and on and on. This is outrageous. There's some people who need to go to jail. In fact, half the damn government needs to go to jail. Or worse. So anyway, the production cuts that I did not get to talk about in that show, I just kind of gave you a broad brush. You folks who are doubting that oil prices are going to go up, in addition to what I had in that show, listen to last week. The Russian oil pipeline monopoly, Transneft, they are now forecasting Russian oil exports are going to drop in 2016 by 460,000 barrels a day. Now, I already gave you the numbers which lead to a dramatic 1.5 trillion barrel a year drop in production or drop in excess supply. Either one. Okay, you get to zero, you can get to zero two ways. You don't drill and produce oil, or you don't have the oil in reserve. Or the reserve numbers, in other words, are off. This is another 460,000 barrels a day. That's 180 million barrels per year. Just that one drop in exports in Russia. In addition, OPEC. Okay, there's a closure of a pipeline that we didn't talk about. And that pipeline transports 600,000 barrels per day of crude out of the Kurdish region of Iraq. Now, if you've been listening to the news at all, you know that this week, buried amongst all the political crap, there was like this huge, many thousand, tens of thousands of people that actually tore down the walls protecting the green zone, which is where the Americans are and where all the foreign nationals are and where the Iraqi government is in Baghdad. And it was peaceful, but they basically took over parliament. It's kind of like the second Arab Spring, and it's happening in other places besides Iraq. However, not even counting the instability which may hit Iraq and Iraqi oil production, this pipeline in Kurdish, that comes out of the Kurdish region of Iraq is 600,000 barrels a day. And guess what? 2 weeks ago, it was closed. Closed. That's another 600,000 barrels per day that is no longer in the supply line. That's another 190, 200 million barrels a year. We have now added 350, give or take, million barrels of oil a year out of the supply pipeline. Okay, in addition to what I talked about in the last show, Nigeria, you know, there's a lot of oil produced in Nigeria. There's all sorts of fencing and chess games going on between Russia and China and America, and to a lesser extent, Europe, in the huge African oil plays. Guess what? Nigeria, just as of a month ago, is now short 300,000 barrels per day of production. Because there was a very sophisticated pipeline bombing, yes, by Boko Haram, you know, the another as Barry would say, insurgent group, extremist group. How about radical Islamic jihadis? Yeah, they tore the living hell out of the Nigerian pipeline in a whole bunch of places, and they picked the places that were really, really, really difficult to reach and really difficult to fix. That's another 300,000 barrels. That's another 100 million barrels a year. Guess what? If you take just those little breakdowns, and there's more, by the way. I'm just plugging the holes here, so to speak. No pun intended. Drilling the holes, plugging the holes. That is, we are now up to 2 trillion barrels of oil per year. Take last show and what I just gave you. That's not in the supply pipeline any longer and will not be for some time and is not in the reserves that everybody thought it was. That is a huge difference, folks. Oil prices are going up. You can flat count on it, folks. Although I do appreciate the emails and I do appreciate the discussion, but the facts are the facts and 2 + 2 = 4. Like I said, hang on to your wallet. Between the regulations of 15,000 a family per year, the increase of 250 to 500 bucks a month in your fuel costs, and the other increase of 250 to 500 bucks a month in your health care costs and your health care premiums, while we're headed into a recession and the global economy is tottering, like in every single respect, with negative interest rates and all sorts of things, we're not heading into a pretty picture. However, that happens to help who in the elections? Not the incumbents, folks. Not the incumbents, and that's going to play heavily in the upcoming election. This economy is going to be going downhill when you go to the polls and everybody else in America goes to the polls this coming November. And that is not good for the Democrats. No matter what spin they want to put on it, no matter what trumped up nonsense numbers they pump out in their little speeches, no matter how many BS millions of jobs numbers they throw out, never telling you that they're part-time, that the equivalent of 3 jobs created today is 1 job, the equivalent of 1 job pay created 10 years ago. that 70% of the jobs are part-time, that is 29 hours or less per week, because of Obamacare, by the way. Never mind what they're not telling you. The bottom line is this economy is sliding down. It is never fully recovered. This is not good for Hillary Clinton at all. Because Hillary Clinton has kind of joined herself at the hip, probably more not to get prosecuted than any other reason, with Barack Obama. And Barack Obama may be a relatively popular 50% approval rate fellow when it comes to whether or not you like him. Even that number is unbelievable. How can you like that guy? How can you like somebody who lies to you every day? Unbelievable. But he does not have that kind of approval rating in many of his policies. In fact, he's way under 40 on the economy. He's way under 40 on foreign affairs and terrorism. And Hillary is locked to him. In fact, ironically, Bernie Sanders has made sure that she's locked to him by driving her to the left. None of the pundits are talking about this, but the economy is going to be a huge factor in November, and the economy, the slippage in the economy, which is going to become more and more apparent over the course of this year as people's costs increase, as the economy slows down, as there's more and more store closings and layoffs, not, you know, the energy field, the retail field. Aristotle, I mean, I'm not a shopper, but a big chain, 113 stores, just filed bankruptcy. I told you a few months ago about Macy's paring back its stores, Walmart closing 156 of its stores, Sports Authority has filed for bankruptcy, four or five other big retailers. And yes, you can attribute part of this to the fact that retail, brick-and-mortar retail is in trouble because of internet. Sure, some of it's attributed to that, but the bottom line is that people's income is not expanding to keep brick and mortar alive and do internet sales. People's net disposable income is decreasing. They're not getting their raise. The everyday inflation, you know, how much you spend for food, how much you spend for this, that, or the other, for clothing. Your dollar buys less. Or it takes more dollars to buy the same, however you'd like to look at it. And by the way, if it takes more dollars to buy the same, all you folks have been listening to me for 4 years, what do you have? You have inflation. Don't believe the inflation numbers the government's giving you either, because they've set us up for a big inflation. And why? Because inflation benefits debtors. And what is the United States government? It is a $20 trillion debtor. You think they care about you? Oh, no, they don't. They care about themselves, their power, and their money. They will do anything and everything. Printing money, buying our own bond, whatever it takes to continue the illusion that everything is okay. Start thinking outside the box, folks. Add up all the dots. If you have an economy where 57%, I think it was my show 8-9 weeks ago. I think if you type it in the search bar, you'll probably find it. Type in average American savings account or average American liquid assets. That show hopefully will come up for you. It's amazing statistics. 57% of Americans have less than $1,000 in liquid assets to their name. This is their savings account, their checking account, their stocks, their bonds, whatever. $1,000 or less. 57%. More than half of that number has less than $500 in their account. If you go to $5,000, which, let's face it, I mean, everybody would like to have $5,000, but the bottom line is $5,000 really isn't a lot, is it? I mean, for most of us, that is in 3 months' rent, food, groceries, and medical, and fuel. A three-month reserve. If you're 30 or 40 years old, you have a three-month reserve for the next 50 or 60 years of your life. I wouldn't call that in good shape, would you? And if you are in that position, if you are in a position of 80, I think it's 88%, without going back and finding my notes from that show, of 88% of all Americans, you have $5,000 or less liquid assets to your name. And you're going to see your costs for fuel and health care and health care premiums, insurance premiums, go up roughly $10,000 to $12,000 a year. At the same time, you're not getting any raise, while other prices for other things are going up. You're not going to be spending a lot of money, are you? You don't have a lot of discretionary dollars to spend. In fact, you're kind of going week to week, which is the majority of this country right now. Excuse me. And that is why all these businesses are going out of business. You know, there's a great little Ford dealership in a little town. I'm not going to mention the town because somebody will put it together with the name of the dealership. And they've gotten me several vehicles. They are terrific. Great people, terrific service, great deal on vehicles. And you know, they just shut their doors. This is with record number of auto sales in April. 1.5 million units. All financed, by the way. More than one half of them with subprime auto loans. That is, if you can fog a mirror, we'll give you a loan. I did a show on that, too. A third of those loans are already in default. There's a wreck coming. Mark my words, you better get yourself prepared. Understand where we are, understand where we're going to be by election time, and understand on a bigger picture, politically speaking, what that's going to do to the election that none of these pundits are factoring into their nonsense. I mean, they're concerned with, Hillary has a better computer system, and she has 800-page staffers, and women don't like Trump, and folks. There is a huge groundswell in this country. Bernie Sanders is a recipient, and Trump is a recipient. People get it. They may not have all the facts and figures I rattle off on these shows. They may not know the stats about how few people have more than $500 in their account. They may not know the name of the department stores that just closed with 113 stores in the chain. You know, another 10,000 jobs, whatever, lost. You know, they may not have the stats as to internet versus brick and mortar sales and all that crud. Okay, which is, I think, hugely fascinating and bears out the point. But people get it. They get the big picture. They know what they can buy and what they can't relative to what they could have bought or couldn't buy a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. People understand. And they understand that politicians who go to Washington middle class come out of Washington like with money falling out of their pockets, plus a lifetime pension paid for by us for doing such a wonderful job. They get that people are not following the laws. They get that if they don't follow the laws, they're in trouble. But if Barack Obama doesn't follow the law or his oath of office or the Constitution, along with his host of law-breaking minions, nothing happens to them. Take Hillary. Take Hillary in the emails, the espionage. And people are pissed. They're really pissed. I'm really pissed. Are you? I can see a lot of heads nodding out there in Radio Land. Here's another thing that folks are not taking into account. People know in their heart of hearts, I don't care if you're liberal, that's not progressive, that's different. Liberal, remember my definition. Liberal is you are left of center and well-meaning. Progressive is you're nasty and you're a communist. So sorry, you progressives who listen to this show. That's what progressive is. Progressive is just a word that the extreme left has inserted in place of the word communist to make it more palatable. That's what they do. They play with words because words create thoughts. Thoughts create perceptions. Perceptions control actions. In 1887, I didn't get a chance to tell you this last week, and this ties right into what I'm going to tell you about Trump and my forecast for Trump and some other things the pundits are not talking about. So in 1887, Alexander Tyler, he was a Scottish history professor at the University of Edinburgh, talked about him at the last part of my show last week. He did a whole study on the fall of the Athenian Republic 2,000 years ago, which, by the way, was one of the last true republics until the United States. Ancient Greece, Athens. Quote, a democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates who promise the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse over loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by a dictatorship. I want you to know that the average age, folks, of the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning of history has been about 200 years. The United States is about 238, 9, whatever years old. We're right in that 200-year mark, a little over it, actually. And during those 200 years, what Professor Tyler found out, he sorted it into various stages of rise, greatness, and collapse. Let me tell you what those stages are. The first stage is from bondage to spiritual faith. Remember the Revolutionary War? Do you remember why the pilgrims came here to begin with? To escape religious persecution. And then the second is from spiritual faith to great courage. And from courage to liberty, the Revolutionary War. From liberty to abundance. Think of that time period of the 1800s when America was emerging as a world power. Its westward expansion, which my books, The Threads West series, covers. I mean, truly remarkable times. The early 20th century. The early 1900s. The light bulb, the car, electricity, communications, the phone. This is all American inventions, folks. All of that stuff was American inventions. The first plane, the first flight. I mean, it goes on and on. The first assembly line, the first cars, the first internal combustion engine. This is amazing stuff, and it was all America. So from liberty to abundance. Then the next step is from abundance to complacency. That kind of sums up starting, I'd say, what would you say, about the 1960s? The baby boomers? Huh? We all had it coming. My producer's nodding her head. Yeah, we were all entitled, right? And we have carried that entitlement over to the millennials, our kids, who really think they're entitled, which is why so many of them love Bernie. Because, our kids have been taught so poorly. Number one, by the school system, which has failed us because the progressives took it over cleverly 40 years ago. And number two, by us. I mean, we're to blame for this. We're to blame for the fact that our children, and I'm not talking about my kids, but children in general, the millennials, think they are entitled. They think they can get more for doing less. They think they are absolutely due a free education and a free this and a free that and free birth control pills. And they've been taught so poorly by us, by their schools, that they don't understand that nothing is free. That they may get a free education today, in other words, not have to pay for it, and they will pay for it 10x over in taxes through their lifetime as the government collects from the only sources of revenue the government has, which is their pockets and their property. The next step in Professor Tyler's study was from complacency to apathy. Think about what's been happening with the voter turnout. Since around the 1980s, during the time of Reagan and then thereafter, I mean, do you realize that in most elections we have a 40% turnout of voters? 40%. That means 60% of the voters of this country don't bother to vote. I mean, people jump up and down when we have a 55% turnout. 55%, folks. That 55% is good. The 45% who didn't vote is terrible. Terrible. They had a higher turnout in Iraq for their first Democratic elections. Do you remember those pictures back in the day, 2004, 2005, 2006, when the Iraqis went en masse to the polls in the first election they had had in God only knows how long, decades and decades, and they were holding up their purple fingers. You had to dip your finger in purple ink when you voted so you couldn't vote twice. I mean, Iraq had a better turnout than America. I would call that apathy. And then from apathy to dependence. And here we come on the millennials thinking it's all free. You get more for doing less. I mean, Professor Tyler, for a study that was done in 1887, is kind of right on, is he not? And then from dependence back into bondage. And what's happening right now? As we become more and more dependent, as a higher and higher percentage of the population becomes more dependent on purpose, the government creates situations where you must be dependent. The government promises you stuff so you get hooked on dependency. That's what's happened to the black community. It's what's happened to the Native American community. It's what they're trying to make happen to the Spanish American community. Read these articles under immigration. Do you know that Obama wants to give every illegal alien child $17,000 and change in annual benefits? Do you know that's more than the average Social Security recipient gets? Think about it. This is intentional. It is to turn us into dependents. And do you know why? Because once again, Professor Tyler was correct, because the last stage is from dependency back into bondage. And what do you think all these regulations I talked about earlier in the show are? The 3,500 or 1,000 or whatever the hell they are, it doesn't really matter, does it? The regulations are 100x the laws passed, folks, in terms of numbers. They cost this economy $1.8 trillion, $15,000 from your pocket. I guarantee you there isn't one of us who doesn't wake up every day and unknowingly commit three federal crimes. There's so many friggin' laws and regulations on the books. They want in your cell phones. They want in your computers. They want to listen to what you have to say. They want to monitor what you do on Facebook. They want to control it all, what you think, what you say, what's proper, etc., etc. This is the beginnings of the descent into bondage. Now, that is why I'm going to give you this forecast on this upcoming election. And that's not to say Trump might not do something stupid. And that's not to say that some weird thing may happen. And that's not to say, because this is not out of the realm of possibility, that Barack Obama may get very nervous about the fact that Hillary could lose. And he must have a disciple in the White House to permanently imprint his brand on America. He needs one more four-year term, and two more four-year terms would really do the trick for his transformation of this country. I would not put it past him to indict Hillary and suddenly throw out a surprise candidate, maybe Biden, maybe Elizabeth Warren, maybe even Michelle Obama. They will do whatever, the progressives will do whatever it takes to win, folks. Understand that. Understand that. And Donald Trump, because you got to remember, we have progressives, unfortunately, on the Republican side, too. Much of the establishment, including those who wring their hands and call themselves arch conservatives. I mean, these are people who supported McCain and Romney. Now, McCain, you know, war hero for sure, brave guy for sure, military oriented for sure. My hat's off to him on all those scores, but you know what? He's a rhino. In fact, in some respects, he's a progressive. Mitch McConnell, progressive. Paul Ryan, man, I don't know what he is, but he's no arch conservative. Not with the budget that just got passed while he was Speaker of the House. The Republican establishment is as nervous as the Democratic establishment over Donald Trump, because Donald Trump will shake things up. I mean, he will flat, I think, kick some butt. Now, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I have a great quote for you, which I'm going to give you. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But think about this. I think we would all agree that this country is absolutely in decline. Can we all agree on that? Militarily. Power-wise, respect-wise, financially, socially. I mean, there is really no level whatsoever that the United States of America is not in decline. Think about what Professor Tyler said. We are at the apathy, complacency, slipping back into bondage phase of a democracy. And once again, right at or slightly over that 200-year mark, which is the earmark of democracy since the beginning of time, their downfalls. You know, this is kind of right in line. I'm going to come back to this politics. But the Second Amendment, which is really the last bastion of defense of our freedoms, defense against bondage. What are the progressives trying to do? What is Hillary jumping up and down about? And I'm going to have a whole show on what Hillary wants to do with guns, because it's insidious. Here's what Barack Obama has done in the last 30 days while everybody's attention has been diverted. He is working on executive orders, legislation, and in concert with progressive state governors and mayors of big cities to, number one, outlaw gun stores in every state. Think about that. Outlaw gun stores in every state. Number two, to register all ammunition. Number three, to expand background checks to non-gun-owning friends and family. So when you go in to a gun store, which is likely to be outlawed, to buy ammunition, which you're going to have to register, and to buy another weapon, your background check may well include your friends and your family. How's that for slipping into bondage? He's working on an executive order to force all gun manufacturers to produce only smart guns. Do you know what smart guns are? My producer's shaking her head. Those are guns with chips or other types of sensory devices that can only be fired by the person who buys them, to whom the chip is enabled, so to speak, to whom the sensor is enabled. And, of course, this is all in the name of, quote-unquote, safety. This is the guy who stands up on the stage and says, if we can just prevent one death, this is the guy who's caused 500,000 deaths in Syria. And by the way, several hundred thousand of those by supplying arms to the wrong people. Or not preventing arms from getting to the wrong people, including chemical weapons. Remember the red line? But suddenly he's worried about one life in America. You bet. Did you know that he's a little sidelight here? Did you know that, number one, he's trying to increase the number of Syrian refugees from 10,000 to 85,000? I told you that was going to happen. But this is what you didn't know, because this was buried in the news last 3 weeks. He wants to decrease the length of time taken to background check these refugees from terror countries, from Mideast countries, from the 18 to 24 months that is taking right now to 90 days. Now remember, this is the same outfit, Barry and Valerie and the rest of the treasonous bunch, who relied on the fact that it took 18 to 24 months to vet these biometric, you know, standards and all this crap that they fed us. That was their justification for these refugees being safe and Americans not being in danger. But now, behind the scenes, they want to cut it to 90 days. Never mind all six heads of intel of the intel divisions of various branches of the government, including the Department of Defense and the FBI, have said ISIS will definitely infiltrate, even under our current system, which was the 18 to 24 months. But now we're going to cut it to 90 days. But he's worried about one person dying from a gun. Okay, see if you make that all add up. Now, what happens with smart technology is only one person can use a gun. So what happens when you die? Guess what? That gun is out of existence, folks. Nobody else can use it. What happens if there's an insurrection against the government and you get killed? That gun can't go to another rebel. I know there's some of you out there in Radio Land shaking your heads. Let me tell you, this is how these people think. This is why they want to do it. And then, you'll love this, to mandate citizens surrender their DNA before gun purchases can be completed. So now we're going to have a national DNA database, are we? What do you think about Professor Tyler's complacency to apathy to bondage? It all kind of ties in, doesn't it? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I think that we all agree America is in decline. I've given you a whole bunch of, I don't think anybody can come up with one single aspect of American life, culture, and values, and freedoms, domestically or internationally, socially or militarily. It doesn't matter. Education-wise or in terms of infrastructure. I mean, A, B, C, D, right through Z. The country's in decline. And Americans know it. Which is going to get back to the election deal, which I'm going to get into in just a minute. And Americans don't like it. Most Americans don't like it. In fact, most Americans are scared of it. And rightfully so. Now, we know what Hillary Clinton is. We have been able to watch her for 30 years. We've been able to watch her screw up a world as Secretary of State in conjunction with Barack Obama and Valerie Jarrett and the rest of the treasonous bunch for 4 years. We watched her husband allow terror to really get a foothold on the planet by not killing bin Laden. And her husband enter into these trade agreements which created trillions and trillions of dollars of deficits for us and lost jobs and moved businesses. We know all this. And then we have Donald Trump. And a lot of people say, I won't vote for Trump because he scares me, because I don't know what he's going to do, because he's unreliable, because, there is no model. Let me submit to you that that is exactly why Donald Trump's going to win this election. That's exactly why he's going to win this election. Here's my prediction. We shall see if I am right. Donald Trump by 4 points in November. And if more happens with Hillary's FBI email, foundation, potential criminal activity, or if the economy worsens more quickly than I think it's going to, or oil prices rise more rapidly or more highly than I think they're going to, then it's going to be Donald Trump by 10 points or more. Because in the end, thinking Americans, I'm not talking about progressives, they got a whole different deal going, particularly the socialist Islamists like Obama. It's a whole different, they have different goals. I'm talking about most Americans. That would include liberals, remember, left of center, mean well, moderates, independents, conservatives, very conservatives. They get it. Because if we're in decline, that decline is predictable. And a change could mean renewal. To put it another way, we need fundamental reforms, and the risks of the predictable decline are greater than those of unpredictable renewal. Are you following me on that? That's how I feel. I'd rather roll the dice with Donald Trump, knowing that I'm not going to be satisfied with everything, and see what he can shape. He has enough of the principles that I believe in, not all, that he will be moving things in the right direction and changing the shape of the clay. Okay, this isn't doodling around the corners of the clay block. This is reshaping the clay. And I would much prefer unpredictable renewal at the hands of Donald Trump than I would a predictable and increasingly rapid decline under Hillary Clinton. Now, if you take the economic aspect, if you take the fact that Trump is smarter than a whip, that the people he is now beginning to hire are smarter than whips, that he has the money and the wherewithal and the context to put together almost overnight a game plan, that with Kasich and Cruz dropping out, he has 2 months which otherwise would have been consumed in getting ready for a contested convention, that he can now focus into getting ready for Hillary. While Hillary is still quite a bit bogged down by Bernie Sanders, I think his organizational abilities, his organizational platform, while it probably will not be as good as Hillary's, is going to be pretty damn close. I think the amount of money he will have will be pretty damn close, if not more. And the other thing, in addition to those elements, shall we say, of electorate mentality and perception, which is what drives votes, that pundits aren't talking about, is since Barack Obama took office, okay, the Republicans have hugely increased their hold on the Senate, the House, state governorships, state legislatures, and local governments. Republicans now hold 32 of the 50 governorships, 30 of the 50 state legislatures are Republican, and about the same percentage of local and municipality governments. If you take a look at a chart, and I'll get to you, I'll submit to you in a moment why this is all so important. Okay, since Obama got elected, the Democrats have lost a total of 13 Senate seats. This is net numbers now, 13. They've lost a total of 69 House seats. They've lost 11 governorships. They've lost 913 net state legislators or legislative seats. That's a huge number. I mean, almost 1,000 around the country. And they've lost control of 30 state legislative chambers. In fact, if you take a look at a map of the United States and where various states are at, almost 40 of the states are red. There's only 9 states which are blue. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 8 which are yellow. In other words, they could swing either way. Something like Colorado, for instance. Politics is a grassroots game, folks. If you control the governorship, you control the legislature, you control the municipalities, you control really the political machinery in a state. That's one of the unspoken prizes that go with governorships, state legislatures, etc. That means that at least 30 of the states, and probably a few more of the yellow ones, at least 30 of the states, Donald Trump has a political machine in place. It's Republican and it's conservative. The degree of conservative varies from state to state, obviously. Some states are simply more conservative than others. But what I'm trying to say is he has more of a machine at the grassroots level going into this contest than Hillary Clinton has. And in addition, he has this groundswell. He has the fear, if you will, the trepidation of American decline and an economy going downhill and your personal pocketbook getting picked by the government and rampaged, ravaged, and raped by increasing energy and healthcare costs, amongst many other things. He has all that impetus, and he has the perception and the smarts, the common sense of the American voter, most of them, which is unpredictable renewal is better than predictable decline. And that is why Donald Trump is going to be the next president of the United States, in my humble opinion. I'm going to continue with my prognostications. I think that the Republicans are going to lose some Senate seats, but will keep a narrow majority in the Senate, 51 or 52 seats to 48 or 49 for the Dems. I think the Republicans will lose a few seats in the House, but not many. They'll keep firm control of the House. And I think Republicans might well make gains. They may well increase the number of governorships and state legislatures that they control. I think this is shaping up to be a huge, and when I say Republican, I got to tell you, I'm sick and tired of the Republican Party. I'm voting for, and I always have, I've never pulled the R lever. I always vote for people, they just happen to be Republicans. Because most of the Democrats, I mean, probably the last Democrat I would have voted for, although I wasn't old enough to vote, was JFK. I think this is where we are headed. We may be in for surprises in terms of who the Democratic nominee really is. We may be in for surprises on the Trump side because he does something stupid. You know? But I'm pretty confident that there's a big change coming to this country, and it's much more aligned with how you and most of my audience, not all, and me think than it is with how they, the socialists, the progressives, the socialist Islamists, how they think. And that's a good thing. I'm going to finish up this show. Boy, I'm right on time. Unbelievable. I'm going to finish up this show. Remember that article I've been reading bits and pieces out of The American Thinker? Great article. Just terrific. All right. I'm going to repeat one paragraph. The genie is out of the bottle now, and even if Trump falters, there will be another to take his place. He or she will have to be irrevocably committed to turning this country inside out and not be squeamish about how it is done, starting at the school board and ending at the White House. If he or she ever utters the word compassion, it will all be over. We are so sick of that word it makes us want to throw up when we hear it. He or she had better not ever apologize for anything, anytime, anyhow. We don't care about anyone's personal foibles. We have to win and don't particularly care about how it's done. And there's another little matter of holding accountable those who inflicted this damage on us. They cannot be allowed to walk. The American Republic is in its endgame. Let the game begin. The dinosaur left, drunk with success of conning America into twice electing an incompetent Marxist stooge for president, simply because he was black, is totally surprised and is coming unhinged. They believe that traditional America was down and out. In their detached world of the Beltway, Green Room, and Faculty Lounge, they had assumed that anyone who would support Donald Trump was part of some marginal fringe group, which to their horror turns out to be most of America, or at least the part that counts. They're playing the race card to squelch any inconvenient truth that intrudes into public consciousness isn't working anymore. None of their slogans of the past apply anymore. They can't rail against the man because they are the man. They own this mess, and no amount of lying by this incredible shrinking news media can hide it. They are looking more like Louis XVI every day. This movement has no grassroots. He's talking about the left, unless it refers to what it is being smoked. Other than environmental crap, they have no ideological underpinning. They are simply the mother of all kleptocracies. Their soldiers will not march to the sound of cannon. They are ripe for a fall. They are as vulnerable as they are stupid, and will be as inept at defending themselves as they are at running your life. We don't need an intellectual, a debater, a legislator, or a compromiser. Legal niceties be damned. We want a man of action who will fix bayonets and lead us over the top. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. We'll talk to you next Saturday. Go Trump!
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.